This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Look, we get it, Tiger fans. We know the baseball season can be a grind. Luckily, when you're ready to trade hot dogs for tailgates, we've got you covered with Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast. It's the same unfiltered Detroit sports talk you get here, just with more biting kneecaps and fewer bullpen meltdowns. So when Sunday rolls around, don't just pace around like AJ Hinch waiting for a reliever. Fire up Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast, wherever you're listening now, and roar with us through the NFL season.
Billy P from the D and Chet here. Thank you all for listening to Litterbox, a Detroit Tigers podcast. If you enjoy the show, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. We love hearing your thoughts too. Leave us a rating or just drop us a comment. Please let us know what you think and whatever you want us to cover next. Your feedback really helps us grow and keeps the Tigers talk rolling all season long. Go Tigers, and thank you.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson.
Tiger fans, it's Bill and Chet here, your Litter Box hosts. We are at the end. We have about 6 games to figure this thing out. We have a series coming up against the Cleveland Indians that is extremely important. And we will cap it all off against a Red Sox team that is still in the hunt, looking for a playoff spot. We didn't get the best luck with our end of season schedule this year. I will say that. I would much rather be playing the lower end of these divisions, like maybe the Twins, or heck, even give me the Royals from our division. But at this point, we get to challenge ourselves, and we are not living up to the challenge. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Luck has nothing to do with it. This team's bad, and Scott Harris should not keep his job, given what little was done to try to help this team in whatever silly sabermetrics or algorithm he has going. Everything should have told him that these players would revert back to whom they were and have been their entire careers. And I'm looking at a few players in particular, but Z-Mac, Matt Vierling, I know he's hurt right now. And then Gleyber Torres. It was unrealistic to think that they were going to continue at the torrid pace they were at. What do you have to say about those three?
So I agree with you, actually, on all three of those guys. I want to throw somebody else in there. Where did Javier Baez go in the month of September?
Where he usually goes. He reverted from Javier back to Javi.
Can we talk about kind of his descent here? And I don't know. I mean, we gave a lot of press to Javier Baez.
He deserved praise. He did.
We gave a lot of it. I mean,
I'm still going to give him one shout, no matter how bad his batting's gotten, Chet. The fact that he played not serviceable, not good, but in an elite level center field, having never played it before in the major leagues, is still nothing short of remarkable. If only baseball had designated fielders like they have designated hitters, he could be ideal. He might have a career until he's 42.
They do have designated fielders. They're called AAA baseball players. So I'm curious, if they had kept Javi in center field, do you think his season would have gone differently?
At the plate? No.
And at the plate? Okay, so was doomed. This wasn't some vibe or mojo he was working off of in center field that he could have kept going all season.
No, I don't think that. I think that we're seeing a reversion to the norm in the four players we're talking about now.
Yeah.
I should have probably brought some scorched earth Javi's way, but I didn't. And so
I brought him to the fray because he's been the worst hitter in the month of September on the team.
Yeah. And so I would love you to start going through some of the metrics. And if you don't mind, you know, after you give your exclamation point, I'll weigh in on it. If I can do one thing really quick, the Tigers obviously were swept this weekend against the Atlanta Braves team. They lost 10-1 on Friday. They lost 6-5 on Saturday. They lost 6-2 on Sunday. Quick math tells us that the Braves scored 22 runs and the Tigers managed 8 runs. But if you amortize that, they scored 5 Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not, it's not, they're playing playoff baseball now, Chet. And I'm fired up. And here's why. They were up 15.5 games over the Royals at that time, and the Twins, believe it or not, the Guardians were in fourth place on July 8th. And if the Tigers do botch this, it'll be the biggest division lead lost in the history of baseball. You have to go back to 1914, the year Wrigley Field was built, the year that that the friendly confines became a thing.
If you're Scott Harris right now, and you're sitting there at the interview podium, season's over, and we don't make the playoffs, what are you saying? Like, what is your response to that whole entire thing? How do you even answer what happened, Scott? I don't even know how I would answer it other than we left the cupboard bare in too many places, and or we didn't think we'd be this good again. We thought the pundits were going to be right, and we had no shot of getting to the postseason, which either way is just a terrible indictment on the management of this club.
He can't say that when 1 week ago they had a 99% chance
to make
the playoffs.
But then what's the excuse? Is it just rolling the dice and hoping everything, all, you know, the team keeps playing at a level that was well above their mean?
I think his only out is to hide behind the farm system and the value that's there, and that their assets, especially at Erie, were so valuable that there was nothing out there or anybody's asking price for Suarez, who ended up going to the Mariners. Outside of that, I'm still going to say the Devers move was the single biggest move in season this year. Uh-huh. And nothing else really jumped out at me. You know, actually, Kyle Finnegan has been fantastic. He allowed his first run Saturday as a Tiger. Yeah. Outside of that, Scott Harris did nothing. So I think, again, answering your question, the only thing he can hide behind is that there's so many assets there that they have financial flexibility because of Javier's the only major contract, and that maybe they exceeded expectations all season, to your point as well. And the pundits' point.
You're going to hear, oh, well, you know, we lost Reese Olson and we lost Jackson Jobe. Well, injuries happen. and you got to have a well-stocked squad. And we thought we did. We remember we talked at the beginning of the season. We were like, wow, I don't know if, you know, we have enough opportunities to go around for all these guys. We got a good problem here. We have seven starting pitchers. We've got, you know, remember this? We're having these conversations. And
exactly.
There were a lot of guys that didn't pan out. There were injuries, but only two. We could have, I think, played those scenarios differently.
I've got a counterpoint to this.
Sure.
If I may, when Parker Meadows and Matt Vierlein were out, the Tigers played excellent baseball at the beginning of the year. So the injuries, you can't use it to your advantage. You're not. I'm saying Scott Harris can't use it both ways.
Yep.
And unfortunately, those of us with short memories might not. But I hope the beat writers hold him accountable. And I hope the national media holds him accountable. If this collapse does go through the way that you and I, after a six-game losing streak, and the team at your heels has won 11 of 12, we have every right to feel the way we're feeling.
I think you're going to hear a lot of kind of, we crested this hump way before we thought we were going to, or we feel we probably got lucky in the first half of the season, which a lot of people, I think they did. We did not expect to be competing this early in the process. And last year was, we figured, was an aberration. And this year, we were going to be back down there and maybe agreeing with what a lot of the pundits had said at the beginning of the season, that they didn't have a postseason shot. But here they were competing, hell, one of the best teams in baseball in the power rankings forever in the first two-thirds of this season.
Can I poke?
And how do you run a team not expecting to compete?
Scott, can I poke a hole in your argument there? This is Dave Burkett.
Please do.
Detroit Free Press. Why did you go all in on Alex Bregman if you didn't think you could compete this year?
That's a great, that's an excellent thought. And why, what I don't understand is you went kind of all in on one guy, but then just backed completely off of everything else. So I don't really understand. I just don't understand the gamesmanship here by the front office.
What was left, though, after that point? Because at that point, there wasn't a whole lot out there.
Well, we did. You know what? I'll go back to you. They could have gotten creative at the start of the season.
100%.
I mean, they could have been creative at the trade deadline, too. I just don't know that creativity is there anymore, because I think creativity starts looking a little like desperation and you start throwing things out there that maybe you shouldn't. But it worked for San Francisco, obviously. I don't know if it would have worked as well for us.
And it worked for San Francisco because at the beginning of the season, we thought that Rafael Devers wouldn't, that he was going to be okay with Bregman being at third base.
Sure.
Or at least not do what he did, which John Henry and company thought was a toxin or a disease in the clubhouse.
Maybe they thought they had a third baseman in Jace Young. Maybe they thought they had a third baseman in him and that he was going to be the answer. I don't know.
Do you know that Young has now been called up? And how many home runs do you think he's hit in his major league career?
I don't even know. I haven't even. Is it a big zero?
It's a goose egg, Chet.
Yeah. Well,
he doesn't have that many at-bats, but he's had enough. And so if I can go through this.
Yeah.
Parker Meadows regressed to his worst mean. And we have our three big bats, Torque, Green, and Carp. Do you know that they are all within 5 to 6 points of having OPSs below 800?
Yeah.
Those are your big
bats.
Which
is out of nowhere now. Because that was our big, you know. That was what we were leaning on for months was, wow, the OPS is still up there.
So one last, this is going to be from, I don't know, Chris Solari or, with the Lansing State Journal. What, why could you justify trading any type of asset to sign Charlie Morton, who you knew had a really high ERA when you traded for him, only to get him? Watch him promptly assist in losing, by my count, 3 to 4 games with bad starts, bad pitching, putting the bullpen in awkward positions. You could probably double that number, Chet. And then cutting him, which they just cut him outright this past
weekend. The interesting thing about cutting him, it could have been him. It could have been Paddock. Paddock got the bullpen role. I think they see him as like a younger, more, you know, has maybe a little more possibility in front of him. But like, you could have cut either one of them. Both their stats have been terrible. And those were our two big acquisitions during the whole trade deadline. So
non-Kyle Finnegan acquisitions.
Non-Kyle Finnegan, if you want to, you know, say non-Kyle Finnegan. But neither one of those guys belongs on a roster right now. It's amazing. They should both be designated. So Morton got the designation, deserves it. I mean, he's looked pretty pitiful, especially in the last month. He gave us three good starts back in August. And so did Paddock, gave us two or three good starts, but the rest of their starts have been absolute blowups. The other thing to call out here, what's a shame is Parker has actually looked pretty good since he came back from injury in September. He could have been a good help down the stretch. Guy by the name of Spencer Torkelson, I'm going to fanboy this guy a little more for you here. You know, he's batting like .297 this month. He has a crazy batting average in the month of September right now, and he's got an off-the-charts BABIP. It's like .405 or .450. He's getting lucky, but he's getting hits, and he's still hitting. He's been kind of one of the only guys who has kept an entire season of consistency together. I looked today in the stats, and granted, he hasn't been incredible all the time. He sits right around that .240, .245, kept his OBP up above 800 the whole time. I think, you know, Spencer deserves a little tip of the cap for his 2025 season. It's not been incredible, but it's been consistent and he has produced. Riley Green, on the other hand, is striking out at a 30% clip in the month of September. And his batting average is in the toilette. It's below 200 right now for the month. Riley has, you know, look, he's our team leader in every offensive category on the season, but he decided to disappear at the most critical time of the year. And for a guy who already gets railed on for his clutchness, his ability to be clutch, like, this is yet another hit towards that. Now, he's young. Did you know? Here's the craziest thing. I was kicking around Tiger stats, trying to make sense of what the heck's going on. He is the second youngest player, position player on our team.
I've been making that argument.
Behind Colt Keith.
I've been making that argument all year that he's still 24.
Colt Keith's 23. Riley's 24. Turns 25 at the end of this month in about 6 days. But he's still the youngest position player we've got right now.
And he's
I couldn't believe it.
He's been up for since he was 20.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been up for a couple of years. So he's got a ways, like, right? We're not even to his peak yet, whatever.
Times on his side would be the
totally
only argument you can make on
we
that.
We have control of him through the 2028 season. So he starts ARB in 2026.
And if he delivers, then you pay him. And if he doesn't, then it's an easy decision. So, and you still got some really good years. I mean, he's still an above average ball player. He's just not the guy you can build this type of franchise around because, unfortunately, the previous regime decided that signing Javier or Javi Baez was a great idea when his plate discipline and his slug had been on the decline already. So, all right, I think we've covered a lot of what we think is terrible. We have three games upcoming against the Guardians in Cleveland. And what I find fascinating, Chet, is I think the Tigers hit the panic button officially because Tarek Skubal is starting tomorrow evening.
Yes.
On Tuesday, which means the Tigers bumped him up, even though they had an off day. So it's really not that big of a deal. Yeah. But they bumped up his schedule start from Wednesday to Tuesday. So that he can pitch Tuesday against the Guardians and Sunday against the Red Sox, which means if the Tigers have to be in the wild card round, he will be unavailable for one of a three-game series.
Going all in to get into the postseason right now after we've had the dominant season that we had up until the month of September. It's quite interesting.
So if you weren't all in to win Scott Harris and company,
yeah,
that's another hole we can point at you because you would delay the guy that probably will not re-sign with you after next season because he's been Tarek Skubal, the only Tiger outside of, I agree with your torque props, and then we've got to give a little more Dylan Dingler love.
Yeah.
However, there is an alarming stat on Dylan Dingler. He does not walk.
Does it have to do with strikeouts?
No, he doesn't walk.
Yeah, he strikes out quite a bit too.
But so right. He needs to learn, because if he doesn't learn how to take pitches, he is going to get abused in the postseason if they make it. And he'll have a very short major league career because they'll know how pitchers will learn how to pitch to him. You can't hit everything. So, all right. What's your prediction for the upcoming series, Chet?
A couple things that I'll say here. I don't remember the last time the Tigers blew a premium player in his premium years like they like they have with Skubal, two Cy Youngs in a row. This is almost something out of like a Lions-esque thing with like Calvin Johnson or Barry Sanders at this point. They still have an 85% chance, but they got to get some work done here in the last couple games of the season. I'm going to say that this is a tough one. This is really tough. I dread the Red Sox series more than I actually dread this Cleveland series in an odd way.
Even though
it's just the perfect, like the Red Sox series sets up as the perfect letdown for this team. Like even if they go 2 out of 3 against Cleveland here, I don't think they're sweeping them. If they go 2 out of 3 against Cleveland here and we come out of this thing 2 games up, I could just see them just getting swept out of Boston and the thing ending with a thud.
Giving it all up.
Just giving it all up in 1-3
just
games.
Just giving it all
to
back.
To end the season. Okay. I just hate to say it, but I could see that happening. And this mirrors the Twins collapse last year in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah, it does.
That we
it
all really mocked does. And made fun of and then we enjoyed because it worked for us. And now it's...
It helped the Tigers' fortunes. I don't
it
know
did.
That...
It
and
did.
And the Twins have won that division so many years with teams that you sure. knew would
You're
do
exactly
nothing
right.
in the playoffs.
Yes. Yes.
And now we've become, instead of, you know, the hunted becoming the hunter, the Tigers, like, were the hunter all year, and now they are.
Yeah, it's, I get what you're saying.
We don't know what.
And I get what you're saying. Dylan, I think we get 1 game out of the next 3 against the Indians. I'm hoping for 2. No
okay.
way we sweep.
They definitely get 2 out of 3.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, that's, okay. I'm feeling pretty confident about
we're
that.
Up against
then,
it.
And then we'll follow up with that. But go Tigers. Those of you that are sticking with it, stay true. Keep the faith. Go Tigers.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,